And welcome to Gravel Talk, ladies and gents. Thank you for joining us.
Well, this week in the Spotlight and Squirt Circle, we are sitting down with
Greg Gagne, the son of Vern Gagne.
We're sitting down with Larry the Axe Henning.
We're sitting down in the Spotlight and Squirt Circle with Ryan Owen,
Darren Corbin,
Zach Gowen.
We're sitting down with Dick Justice.
You're listening to Gravel Talk, keeping you up to date on Midwestern independent wrestling.
And we are live!
Hey, welcome into Grapple Talk with Nick Ragnar, joined by AC Riley, Jesse Von Ruden.
Hey.
Guys,
hey guys,
it's been a while. It's been like almost 4 weeks, I think, actually.
Yeah, a lot of things have changed. I mean, AC Riley got a haircut, you found some bash at the beach, and I dislocated a knuckle.
Yeah.
Which knuckle?
Which one? It's
the middle finger. I was
Yeah, the middle knuckle on my middle finger, you know?
I'm gonna be honest with you, that knuckle looks disgusting.
It is.
It looks terrible.
You want to see it?
No. Sure. It hurts my fingers looking at it. Like,
yeah.
I just want to crack my knuckles looking at it. Like,
yeah, now I got, like, you know, just really
some
terrible
people
want to
take a look at the knuckle. Do you just flip them off? Like, hey, here you go.
No, actually, I just hold a cup.
Okay.
That's
a little bit more respectful. I'll give you that. I give you that.
Oh, it's just so, it's still so swollen.
Yeah.
Sorry, man.
I don't want to ice it. You know, I'm going to probably ice it when I get home, when we're done with this.
Why don't you just crack it back into place?
Oh, I already got it popped back into place.
Oh.
Yeah, I just got to keep on icing it and doing, like, finger exercises, which is weird to say. Like,
one, two.
Finger curls.
Finger curls. Yeah, maybe
three,
get a couple stress four. Bands to work between.
Piss a lot of people off doing that, man.
Yeah, I know, man.
One.
I'm going to do it on the white ride home, listening to Jalen and Jacoby. Be like, I pop the trunk. Flipping everyone off.
That guy just keeps flipping us off. What,
yeah.
What is his deal?
Some mean Craigslist post about you here coming up.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Misconnections. To the guy that kept flipping me off. You're a cunt.
Go fuck yourself.
How was the best of the beach, by the way, Nick?
It was a lot of fun. I went down, took a vacation to Florida. Drank a lot of PBR. Ate some awesome food. Great food, man.
Yeah,
oh, my
what was
goodness.
The best thing you got, man, like food-wise?
Guess what?
What?
Reuben.
Oh, so the Reuben was like the best thing you had.
It was awesome. It was such a good Reuben. Oh my gosh. It was so good, Jesse. Homemade corned beef, dude.
Oh, man.
Put that sauerkraut on there, some
you
rye
are
bread.
Speaking to the Irish in me, man.
Oh, you like that stuff?
Yeah, I like that stuff.
That's
once a
good
year.
Good stuff. What else did I have there? I don't know. I had a lot of stuff, but it was all good stuff. It was
did
all
you vomit
great
any
food.
Of it?
I did not. I never actually, I did not throw up at all, so thank goodness for that. You know, I like PBR enough to the point now where, you know, I think it's unless I have 40 PBRs, I usually wake up the next morning and I feel pretty good about it. I feel pretty
what,
decent.
Like chirpy?
Yeah, I feel trippy?
No, chirpy.
Chirpy.
Like a bird.
I did ride a mechanical bull for the first time in my entire life.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was probably the most embarrassing thing I've ever done in
How long did you last?
Like 3 seconds. It wasn't even moving.
That's not the most embarrassing thing you've ever done.
So you what, you got on there and you're like, all right, I'm ready. Oh, and then you just fell
That's
off.
Pretty much what happened, yeah. I was a little tipsy. And
did you ride it backwards?
I did not do that, no.
Did the bull give you the horns?
Nope. Oh. Nope.
Just headlock the bull. Like, I got it.
All
right.
The last time that I fell off.
Mm-hmm. So you did it multiple
times. The bull turned around and was like, would you stop jumping on the rocks back? Get it?
That's terrible.
The stupid joke was dumb. But yeah, it was a lot of fun.
You were really drunk.
It was a lot of fun. Honestly, not glad to be back in lacrosse. Not okay with it at all. I'm not like the normal person that's like, you know what? Vacation's over, and I'm happy about that. I'm happy to be home. I could give two flying Fs
hey,
about
man.
Being home.
Well,
I would rather
I'm
be
glad
you're
here.
You're just going return promo heel.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, I'm back, but I really wish I wasn't. Boo.
Although I did wear my CM Punk shirt down there, and one of the first people that saw me was like, he's like,
well, CM Punk.
He's like, hey, dude, is that a CM Punk shirt? I was like, yeah, it says CM Punk on it. He's like, I like you, man. You must be a wrestling fan. That's cool by me, dude. I was like, cool. And then we talked about CM Punk in the UFC for like a half an hour. So that was, you know, wrestling shirts, man. It's how you build friendships. Just wear wrestling shirts.
They bring you together.
They really do.
So if I wore my Rick Rude t-shirt, this is
no.
Swag, and he's like,
no.
You know, looking all like,
no.
You know,
no.
Metrosexual. You think I can get a lot of friends that way?
Maybe different kind of friends.
Speaking
oh,
of wrestling
hey.
Shirts, on Saturday at WPW, I don't know if you might have seen it, Jesse, but I just saw for the first time that Dylan has a wrestling shirt of like all the 8-bits of 80s wrestlers.
Oh, yeah?
And it says wrestling where it's as the Nintendo logo.
Hmm.
I was like, that's a pretty cool shirt.
Oh, yeah, that's a pretty solid shirt.
That does sound like a neat shirt. That sounds like a nice shirt.
All right, guys, we're going to do something different this week. We're not really going to do upcoming shows, so if you want to find out about upcoming shows, you got to visit our Facebook page.
Yeah, facebook.com/thegrappletalk. We'll post all of our upcoming shows there. Otherwise, Twitter, @thegrappletalk. I don't know if we still use that. I don't use it at all.
And I do the update people.
I noticed
like,
that you, but you use it with your personal account.
Yeah.
Also, grappletalk.com/podcast/weebly/grappletalkpodcast.weebly.com.
/ Mel Kiper Jr.
Longest link in the history of.
So yeah, if you don't want to do that, just go to our Facebook page because I don't know if anybody's touched our website in like a year and a half. So
yeah, I know we talked about it beforeification that we should probably start doing stuff with the website. And are we going to do stuff with the website?
Do we still do Instagram?
We were talking about doing stuff with the website, and then Nick went to Florida, and then we're just kind of like, we'll deal with it later.
How shitty is the Florida Georgia line?
I don't even know what that is. What is that?
It's the fucking state line between Florida and Georgia.
I mean, I don't know. We didn't really go through Georgia.
Fucking, you didn't?
No, we went through Alabama.
Oh, God.
Thanks.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. I appreciate you patting me on the back super hard.
Did you get Alabama slammed?
I didn't get Alabama slammed. There was no hardcore Holly down there.
All right, now we got a good interview this week. We got AJ and Chris from Smart Money Podcast coming up on the Grapple Talk. It's a little Crisis of Infinite podcast this week.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, though. We're going to be talking about everything from indie wrestling to WWE's current product. You know, that's always fun, just shooting the news. You know, I guess, sorry, I'm just trying to, like, cut down on the cussing a little bit, so now I'm, like, when I come up to the moment where I would normally cuss, I'm, like, struggling to come up with words.
You're going to stress a syllable?
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. We have a lot to talk about, obviously. Road to WrestleMania coming up, and also we have Breaking Point happening in Stevens Point WPW show. This is also coming up here in April. What do you guys, nobody else wants to talk?
Actually, me and Nick have been dominating the conversation this whole time. We thought you were going to chime in with something.
Well, I mean, I didn't know
this is why. You know what? Yeah, we're breaking the fourth wall. This dude comes in here. He's all pissy. He's like,
I don't know if I was
don't
really
see,
pissy.
No, that was pissy, was it not?
Comes I was pissy
in here,
over
comes
the
in here,
conversation, but
comes
not
in
when
here,
I
goes,
in.
What do you guys do? What
he
do
was
you,
like a cat who got a bath.
What do you guys do? You know, I do. I get the upcoming shows. I produce show. Mother effer, this is what we do, because sometimes you don't talk for like 20 minutes.
I don't know what else to say. There's three people.
You need to talk more is what I'm saying.
How am I supposed to talk more?
I miss hearing your voice.
Yeah, but anytime I try to talk, then you guys will say something, and then you'll go into that like, okay, that was a lot better than what I had, which was nothing. I'm just being honest.
Oh, come on, man.
I mean,
don't shoot yourself down like that.
Yeah, you should, man.
I just did.
You know, there's a lot of single women who actually listen to this podcast.
That's true.
A whole ton of them.
I think you made that up.
No, man. Why would we make up a stat like that?
Yeah, that's
not
okay.
There's a ton of women who actually like our tweets on Facebook, and they're pretty hot.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Name one.
You know how many hot women follows I get because of that?
A whole ton, man.
A whole ton.
And a lot of it's just because we won't shut up.
And most of the time, too, I'm pretty sure
Hold on. Uh-huh. So if you're getting a bunch of single women to follow us on Twitter because they're listening to us, and they follow you as a result because you guys are constantly talking, technically, in that theory,
just messing with you.
That's funny.
Man. Well, in that theory, I should continue not talking because basically you're saying if I talk more, then hot women won't follow you.
No, I'm saying if you talk more, women will be like, wow, AC Riley's got a personality. He's a nice guy. Maybe we should start
following him on
Twitter.
I don't
have
one.
And he has a nice faux hawk.
Faux hawk works, man.
Yeah.
It's
all right.
I tried a faux hawk once. You know what happened?
Oh.
Yeah, it was bad.
Have you tried a faux hawk before?
Have you really tried? Like,
I cannot
all the time
see you.
I always see you wearing hats.
I don't wear hats. No,
he doesn't wear hats that often at all.
He barely ever wears hats.
Yeah.
What do you think, he's hat guy?
I'm hat guy now?
Man.
Because I wear a hat once.
You wore a hat like maybe two times that I've seen you, and now you're hat guy.
Yeah, I'm hat guy all of a sudden. I got a new gimmick once.
You're literally wearing a hat right now.
Sorry, you guys are a bunch of hood rats. Actually,
we are
all hood rats.
We are. Yeah, I wear hoods a lot.
We go around the Rat River every now and then when we go up to Oshkosh.
That's not okay. Well, that's not okay to say.
Fact.
Yeah, there's actually a river named the Rat River.
Oh, I thought we were talking about something else.
No. Like, you drive on, what was it, 21?
No, it's not 21. It's like if you're going from Point to like Oshkosh.
So then like State 10, is that it? 10 East, 10 West,
US 10.
I think it's US
10.
US 10. US 10 because I just saw Rhett River on the way up to WPW last Saturday. You go up, you know, when you're up on 10, Rhett River.
How many jokes are made about that?
Maybe like a couple, because I don't think a lot of people realize there's a Rhett River. And I don't think we knew about it until Brown was like, hey, there's a Rhett River there. It's like, okay. Mm.
Yeah. Well, I guess our Wisconsin geography teachers really sucked
balls.
Did not
do well, yeah.
Yeah, we should have known there was a Rhett River in high school.
Yeah.
Should have known.
Why not?
Didn't, though.
Nope.
Anyways, we got a great interview coming up.
Yeah, we do. That's after the break. Stick around. We are doing Grapple Talk meets Smark Money.
Podcast to podcast.
Come up in just a second right here on Grapple Talk.
Hey, everybody. It's me, Darren Corbin.
I've always gotten the question, why do I not do my own podcast? Well, I've branched out and I've tried to do Wrestling Reflections and the Wrestlers Reviewing Movie Letter, plus my promos that I flood your feed with all the time. And the number one reason is, when it comes to podcasts, everyone can always find a way to hear myself talk, and there's numerous podcasts out there, but I want to give my endorsement to one very special one. And that'd be Grapple Talk, that covers a lot of the Midwest independent wrestling highlights. See, a lot of the local Midwest wrestlers are the spotlight of the Squared Circle hosts. And that would be Nick Ragnar, Jesse Von Rudin, and AC Riley. And every week on iTunes or Podbean, you can catch their podcast. So I just want to give them a shout out. So if you're asking me why I don't do podcasts and you're maybe looking for my opinion, check them out for all your podcast needs and take a look and keep supporting independent wrestling in the Midwest.
Follow you. This is the monster of the Midwest, Sadus. There's a couple of things I really, really like. I like to hurt people, and I like grapple talk. So I'm going to keep listening.
For the latest pro wrestling news, keep it locked to www.gerweck.net. Gerwick.net. Pro wrestling since 1997.
What's up, guys? This is professional wrestler Rennie D.
And this is Travis Dirty Mester.
We're the hosts of The Pencil, the professional wrestling podcast every Tuesday.
On iTunes, YouTube, Podbean, and Stitcher.
We bring you guests from the WWE, TNA, and all the major independent wrestling promotions around the world.
Follow us on Twitter at Pencil Podcast or on the World Wide Web, PencilPodcast.com.
It's not about the shoes. It's about knowing where you're going, not forgetting where you started. It's about having the courage to fail, not breaking when you're broken, taking everything you've been given and making something better. It's about work before glory, and what's inside of you is doing what they say you can't. It's not about the shoes. It's about what you do in them. It's about being who you were born to be.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Keeping you up.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Keeping you up.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Keeping you up to date on Midwestern independent wrestling.
Ryan Yanishadis here from the Ringside Report to remind you to watch the Ringside Report every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6 p.m. on YouTube. Brandon McGrath and I discuss WWE, TNA, and the local independent scene. Go to youtube.com/RB Enterprises. That is the Ringside Report, your front row seat to all things wrestling.
Tune into the Indie Power Rankings reveal every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio, Filling the Void Radio Network. You can also subscribe to Filling the Void Radio Network on iTunes. Give a follow to the Indie Power Rankings on Twitter at Indie Power Ranking, no GS. Instagram at Indie Power Rankings. On Facebook, facebook.com/IndiePowerRankings. You can also go to the website where you can see the top 10 for the week, the tag team top 5, anything else independent wrestling related, indiepowerrankingsipr.wordpress.com.
Talk about your Psalms. Talk about John 3:16. Austin 3:16 says...
Stop watching your neighbors get undressed. You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Come on, that's not necessary.
All he's got to do is...
Download the latest Grapple Talk podcast on iTunes. Just type Grapple Talk into the search bar. It's not rocket science.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
This week in the Spotlight and Squared Circle, we are sitting down with the boys from Smark Money Podcast. We're sitting down with Chris and AJ. Guys, thank you for joining us this week.
Thanks for having us, man.
Yeah, pleasure.
So just to give everybody a little bit of an idea of who Chris and AJ are, what did you guys start getting involved in wrestling?
Oh, geez. I go back till I was like 5-6 years old just watching Saturday night's main events on the weekends, man, and saw one episode of it, fell in love with it, been in love with it ever since then, and it's pretty short and sweet for me.
My whole thing has been, it's been a family thing for me. My grandfather pretty much got my whole family into it, and we would always, like, go to indie events if there was anything around, or, you know, Monday nights were always, you know, go to the grandparents' place, watch Monday Night Raw and Nitro, just flip back and forth, so... pretty much been a lifelong thing for me, going on 30 now, and I can't imagine my life without it, honestly. So, but it's been actually really fun as far as getting a little bit more involved in the business, I guess, from just kind of an odd way to do it, starting up this whole podcast and stuff with my boy here. Now we're slowly trying to transition into getting into more of the business side of it as well. So
growing up, who were your favorite wrestlers?
Oh, HB Shizzle, hands down, him. Yep. And Taker, like... Anytime someone asks me your favorite wrestler, it's impossible to pick one. But those are the first two that come to mind. I just Shawn Michaels and Undertaker. Those two are quite simply like the best, like the last 20 years.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to second the Shawn Michaels thing, and also, you know, obviously like Rock and Stone Cold. Also, I want to wish you guys a happy 316 today.
Of course.
Well, hey, thanks, brother.
Oh, thanks. Oh, my beer up to that. Oh, hell yeah.
Swig a beer for the working man.
Here, I saw this on Reddit. What are the only two times that Stone Cold Steve Austin drinks beer?
What are the only two times that he drinks beer? Mm-hmm. I don't know. All the time?
After a match, and then any other time. Oh, because he's always drinking beer because he's an alcoholic. He needs help. We need him help.
That's what I don't need help.
He did post that video of him like doing like what is it, wine tasting or cocktail tasting or
yeah,
something like that?
Cocktail tasting.
Yeah, it was cocktail tasting.
Hilarious.
Yeah. It seemed hilarious.
It seemed really weird for him, but
that was great. Give me one of those red pieces of shit back there.
That's pretty much how it exactly was.
Yeah, but he made his own names for him. One of my favorite though was when he was like, "You ever had sex on the beach? Get sand in every crevice." It's terrible.
Guys, I actually want to talk to you a little bit about the professional product a little bit before we get into indie wrestling, because that's what we like to do. We like to talk about what we see on TV every single week. In your guys' opinion, since you talk about it every week and give your opinions on it, what do you guys think WWE is right now with what they're doing leading up to WrestleMania?
Enjoying it a lot more, actually, leading up to WrestleMania than I have in, I would say, the past few months. I think the product itself has been so watered down lately that, I mean, it's kind of hard to be a wrestling fan after a certain point. And but it's getting better, and I think it's only going to go up in 2016 just for the fact of how down it has been for the past, like, say, a couple years.
Yeah, I mean, they've had a lot of stuff going on, injuries. I mean, Christ, we just had another one go down on Monday. That's been a huge thing, like, especially over the last year, just injury after injury after injury. A lot of things, I think, have been booked pretty bad. I think there was ways they could have taken it and made it better than what the outcome was. Like, for instance, Triple H winning the title at the Rumble, I was not for that. I was not for that at all. I was so mad about that. I felt they had a good opportunity to put the belt at least on Wyatt for a couple months and see what he could do with it. I'm a huge Bray Wyatt fan right now. But Triple H that's been coming out on Raw recently, you know, when he beat the living hell out of Roman Reigns, that was a game right there. That wasn't no authority, Triple H. That was a game right there, so... I've come to enjoy it a lot more, and looking forward to WrestleMania.
It always seems to be like the weird thing. It's like throughout the year, no one really gives a damn about the product until we get about WrestleMania season, and everyone's just like, "Oh man, I'm pumped! Man, I feel great about this!" you know. And then one of the things that really I think spurred a lot of people's interest again was the return of Shane O'Mac. And I know you guys in your show not too long ago were just super hyped about that. Are you guys still super hyped about Shane O'Mac being back?
Oh, definitely. And I was just going to bring that up too. That was one of those moments where you totally take all the bullshit that you hate about wrestling right now, all the little crap, the stuff that just annoys you, and you're just like, this is why I like wrestling. This is why I love it so much. It's moments like that, because I never thought we'd see Shane in the ring ever again.
That's what I think is kind of funny, guys. And I actually kind of want to ask you about it just to get your opinion. But you know, when you talk about a lot of things happening with wrestling, if you break that realism approach, a lot of times people just shit on it. Like, they don't enjoy that. But when you look at Shane O'Mac taking on Taker at Mania, Taker's been billed as this unbeatable force every single year, unless you're Brock Lesnar. And now you're bringing in some,
yuppie. He's a yuppie.
He's a yuppie. To try to challenge one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. I mean, how can this realistically possibly be anything? Like, how can you actually be hyped for this match, looking at it from a realistic standpoint? Because, I mean, if you look at it in realism, you'd think that Undertaker is just going to sweep the floor with this guy. I mean, I know, obviously, probably there's going to be some involvements in the back end, and that's because we're involved with the business a little bit. But when you look at it just as the match billing of Shane versus Taker, how can you get excited for that when you kind of look at it on paper and say, Taker should kill this kid?
I think it's mainly because of the fact that you just want to know how it's going to go down. It's very, very open-ended as to how they could go with this. And even still, with the story that we've had so far that they've put out there, there's so many question marks. And I feel like a lot of the time you end up having it where, you know, going into it, reading rumors, being on Twitter and stuff, and just finding out all these little things, this is one of those where nobody knows what the hell's going on with it. So you just have to take that approach of sit back and just watch and enjoy the story as it develops, instead of trying to read too much into it.
Right.
Yeah, like, what the hell has he got in that lockbox?
Right.
What's in the box? What's in the box?
Yeah, right. As soon as they said that, that's the first thing I thought, too.
Oh, it's Goldberg! Shit!
What, Goldberg shit or just Goldberg,
it's
comma,
Goldberg
shit?
It's Goldberg shit. It's Goldberg, comma, shit.
All right, cool.
Pretty sure those words are synonymous, man. I'm pretty sure it's the same damn thing.
Come on, man. Like Goldberg was pretty hot for like a year and a half, and then it just went to the drizzling shit category. So
when your streak, like I would say about a third of your streak is beating guys like Hugh Morris and Juventud Guerrera, I don't really care about
it. Who didn't love the juice back then?
Oh, gosh, Jesse.
I do too, but that's why I just... When you see him like doing basically what Ryback was doing with like the handicap matches and just destroying people, and when he actually had to get in there and you could see the flaws when he actually had to have a match that was longer than like a minute long.
I don't know, man. I always thought Hoovy was one of the best looking women's wrestlers in WCW. Like, she was gorgeous.
As soon as she took her mask
she
off.
Was, yeah, when she took the mask off, I fell in love. I was like, damn, she's fine.
Well, we know your type now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So moving into the independent wrestling here, guys. So what made you decide to actually get into the podcasting business and actually start talking about independent wrestling and also the national scene? What made you decide, let's do Smart Money Podcast?
It's kind of one of those things where it's a labor of love. I mean, it's something that is a hobby for us, but we would be doing it anyway. Anytime we really talk, it's just constantly about wrestling,
yeah.
No matter what. So we figured we might as well record it and throw it out there. Somebody will listen to it, right? I mean, hopefully.
Yeah.
If they don't, oh, well, what are you going to do? But at least, yeah, you know, at least we're doing something.
We find ourselves, like, frequently, like, out at the bar or whatever, just, like, sitting at the house bullshitting, talking about stuff, and we're just like, shit, we should have recorded that.
Yeah.
Like, that was pretty solid.
If we would have recorded this when it actually did happen,
yeah,
we could have went back and said, hey, remember when we said this, you know, months ago, last year? So, kind of one of those, but I mean, like I said, it's something we would do no matter what, and so we figure we might as well throw it out there for other people. If they agree with us, cool. If they don't, even better.
Yeah, and I met Chris through actually another buddy of mine, and he's like, oh, you like wrestling, right? And I was like, yeah. He's like, you should talk to this guy. And then he introduced me to Chris, and then, he's just been talking wrestling ever since then. We'll be sitting there talking wrestling, and our wives are just rolling their eyes like, are you two ever going to shut the fuck up about wrestling?
And then he
had already done a previous podcast before this one, and he said he needed another co-host to do it with because his other one wasn't able to do it anymore. And this is actually something I've kind of wanted to do myself for a while. I was like, I'll do it, and here we go. Smart Money is born.
Been at it since August, and I feel like we've made some great strides for what we've been doing in that short amount of time, and it's only going to get better from here.
Yeah.
So really quick, when you guys got paired up that first time, when you said, oh, hey, you might like this guy because he likes wrestling too. When you guys got paired up, like, what was the first thing you guys
blind
talked about
date
with wrestling? Like,
yeah, it is.
Because that's pretty much what
who
it
picked
is.
Up
it's
the just, tab?
Who just, picked up the
hey,
tab?
You should talk to this guy. He likes wrestling too. And that's, to your knowledge, the only thing you have in common. So, you know, was it awkward when you first met each other? Or was it just you went right into a wrestling question and you just kept talking?
Yeah, instantly, yeah, into wrestling, like right away as soon as that happened. I want to say we're probably both at this point, because I would say a majority of our wardrobe is actually like wrestling shirts and stuff anyway. More than likely we were probably both wearing wrestling shirts as it was. So
yeah, I mean, just the basic thing, like, how, you know, oh, how long have you been watching for, you know, when did you start? Oh, you started watching back then, I watched it too, did you like this, what did you think about this, you know, that kind of stuff,
right? Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what, you know, spurred Grapple Talk, man. I mean, for the most part, we kind of did it as a way to, I guess, you know, we get to talk to a lot of indie wrestlers and things like that, so it kind of gets us, you know, lets us get to know some of these guys too. But for the most part too, I mean, in my opinion, you know, I'm a huge sports fan. Like, I love football, basketball, mm-hmm, the whole nine yards, but when it comes down to wrestling, there's nothing more fun to talk about. And, you know, we got three, you know, with me, Jesse, and Alex, we got three mega wrestling nerds that, you know, did the exact same thing. We're like, you know, if somebody's going to listen, they're not going to, you know, who cares? But we're going to put the mics in front of us, and we're just going to talk about it because it's fun. It's something fun to do.
Oh, it is. It definitely is.
And there's so many things you can talk about with,
oh, yeah,
it. It's not just talking about, like, you know, when I think about, like, talking about sports and stuff, there's an off-season to sports. So, I mean, we don't really talk too much about the Packers at this point or too much about the Brewers, even though, like, those seasons are coming up.
Right.
But, you know, with wrestling, there's no off-season, and we can go back years and years and talk about, you know, our experiences watching, like, a certain WrestleMania or a certain pay-per-view or just those kind of memories. I feel like it's a lot easier to kind of do a podcast about something like that. So,
and plus, like, out of, like, all my friends, I'm one out of, like, four people who actually like hockey. So I have, like, nobody to talk hockey to. And
two of those people, or no, three of them are chicks. So yeah. It's like I'm sitting here talking hockey with chicks, and there's like I have like one dude friend who likes hockey.
Yeah, man, that's how it is here in Wisconsin, man. There's not a lot of hockey fans here. It'd be kind of, you know, we don't have a professional team, but I mean, and one of the best parts about wrestling, though, too, I have to say, is fantasy booking, man. I bet you guys do it all the time, but I swear, whenever we're on road trips, we're sitting there and we're like, you know, we'll start off like, what do you think they're doing with this? And then all of a sudden, an hour later, we're like, this is how I would book Extreme Rules after Mania, dude. So I would, it turns into this whole big thing.
We went to the bar and came back to my place at bar time. And pulled out a notebook and literally wrote an entire freaking road to WrestleMania starting with the Rumble.
We were
marking out for ourselves, like, oh, this would be so over, like, they would eat this shit up, like, this is awesome. And we're just outside and, you know, smoking and just, like, it's like 4 in the morning, we're screaming about fantasy book and wrestling. Geez. I don't know. It's awesome. I love doing it too.
I'm the kind of nerd though that even back in the day when I was playing on like, you know, NES and Super Nintendo and stuff, I would actually make like my own tournaments
do
like a GM mode before they had the GM mode.
Yeah,
I was always that kid that did that kind of stuff. So
even this MGM mode, you're all about it.
Oh, I love it, man! The brand split where you draft a brand and you go on ratings. Man. I wish they.
Stop talking about it. You're giving me a fucking SmackDown versus Raw boner right now, dude. Me and Riley's
It's kind of unsightly too, because like half of it's red and the other half is blue, and it's just terrible. Man.
Wow, good. That's a terrifying image.
They're purple. Yeah, it's 2007 when they had ECW, right? 2007, 2008. That's the purple tip right in the middle of it, you know.
Yeah.
get a little extreme now.
Red dick and purple tip for ECW, you know, it's all there. But when it comes to it, like you could, I mean, if they made like a DLC where you could do that kind of mode again, especially with the rumors of the brand split coming up. If that's not in the next game, I'm going to be pissed.
Oh, my gosh. I'd pay $50 just for a game based around GM mode because GM mode was awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah, like I remember you were talking about writing down the bookings before GM mode was a thing. I remember back when WWE was doing like fantasy booking where they were kind of doing their own fantasy football version where you know, hire X amount of wrestlers and depending on how they did on the show. I remember thinking for whatever reason that was GM mode, so I got really excited about it. And when I figured out it was fantasy football, basically, I would actually spend a good part of like my study hall hours like just writing up match cards and be like, all right, we're going to do this on Raw, and then this will happen on SmackDown, and this will happen next
week. No
wonder
you got terrible grades.
Yeah. Wow. This is high school, too, so that's yeah. But yeah.
That counts.
Yeah. That stuff shows up on your permanent record, man.
Yeah, that's true. It does.
They should really go back to his... They should go back to his permanent record and see what he was fantasy booking at the time.
Right, yeah.
He probably would have got better. They would have looked at the card and been like, they marked out, like, that would be awesome.
It's like, all right,
we'll knock it up.
You see that. All right, A+.
He tried booking Hurricane Helms as the champ. F.
I don't think I did that.
Hey, come on, man. Like, the Hurricane Rock feud was pretty solid.
That was a good feud.
I like that feud.
Yeah, that was nice because Rock was money.
Don't forget about Rosie. Don't forget about Rosie, Roman Reigns' older brother, the superhero in training.
Yeah, total shit. Total shit. Right. All right, so we're on the road to WrestleMania right now, and one of the cool things going on is this split, I would have to say, with the fan base when it comes to Roman Reigns. Will you guys sit on this? Are you guys just sick and tired of seeing Roman basically on top as well, or are you guys just want to see how it kind of plays out?
It's kind of hit or miss. Like him on Raw on Monday, I thought that was brilliant. Like he didn't come in through the crowd. Mm-hmm. I've been saying this since like the Shield split. Like Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins, they got new ring gear, new entrances, new theme songs. Roman Reigns is the only one that stuck with the Shield, coming out through the crowd, basically wearing the same thing.
Basically having the same theme song.
And the same theme song, just without the Shield intro part. And I feel like he was kind of like left in the past with that, and I feel like the fans remembered that. Like, oh, he's just still kind of doing this thing. But they also just kept force-feeding it, like, every single week. And they're trying to get him to do these promos, and he is just, like, he's like, really no charisma, I don't think. Like, he's gotten better. I think if you give him maybe 5 to 10 seconds to speak, you know, don't let him talk for like a minute straight because you're gonna be fucking taking a nap afterwards. But like on Monday when he came out and just destroyed Triple H, like that was awesome. Like that's how you should book him. Just if you're gonna force him down our throat, at least make him exciting.
You know, it's funny that you bring that up about Roman Reigns, just because I remember when with a lot of tag teams, like back when the World's Greatest Tag Team was a thing. And then Charlie Haas came back when Shelton Benjamin was a single star. Like, Shelton Benjamin had his own music and had a new entrance, and then Charlie Haas would come back and he had the old music. Roman Reigns does that, as you mentioned. I remember seeing that a lot with a lot of tag teams and stables, is that there's always that one guy that seems like he can't let that go, and he's trying to still keep that, like, hey, yeah, the Shield, yeah, that's pretty cool. I don't know. Somebody knows.
Like, I feel like that's an actual thing, though. Like,
yeah.
Like, people, the fans see that, and they're like, oh, he's just stuck with the, like, he's stuck doing this.
He's living in the past.
Yeah, we're ready for the next thing. And, like, look at how successful Ambrose and Rollins have been since they've done the split, and they've both gone, you know, former World Heavyweight Champion. You know, I can't wait till Rollins comes back from his injury. Dean Ambrose has been killing it, and then Roman Reigns, everyone's just kind of like, meh. Like, he's kind of cool sometimes, but yeah,
I think it
kind of
plays off both ways, though. Like, let's just go back, even with, like, the Rockers split, right? Sean got new music, but when Marty came back, people still liked him because, you know, Sean was just a heel. I think when you fall into, like, that dynamic where you have three guys like that, and you give two of them new identities and one still basically carrying the banner of the Shield, it'd been kind of cool if they would have gave him, like, they spelled out his name, Roman Reigns, a bunch of, you know, weird stuff like the acronym, but they didn't. But, you know, it would have been terrible. It would have been like, you know, ramen, you know.
Ramen.
Ramen, olives, you know, meat, you know, all that stuff. And it's like, and at the end, they're like, Roman Reigns. But, you know, that's okay. But, like, I don't know. It's almost kind of weird where if you don't give him any time to talk, or the only thing he does is, like, physical violence. Like, that's going to get pretty stale pretty quick, too, as well.
I feel like he doesn't need that much time to talk. I mean, if we go back to, like, TLC when he had the match with Sheamus, it was just a beatdown the whole time of Roman just kicking Sheamus' ass, but also, like, physically, you know, just talking shit the whole time. That's what I want to see out of him. I don't need to see him necessarily try to do, like, recreate all the promos. I don't want to see them try to make him into Austin like they have been for the past, I would say,
Daniel Bryan.
6 months. Right.
They've been doing the Daniel Bryan thing with him, too.
I think it's good that, I mean, he's so polarizing. I don't think we've really seen anybody as polarizing as Roman is, you know, besides John Cena. That's the only other name that really comes to mind where, you know, some people love him, some people hate him. But either way, as long as you're getting any kind of reaction at all, that's, I mean, it's still good.
I also think, too, like, he's one of those guys, like, maybe you could stick him with a mouthpiece, give him a manager or something, because I feel like he is lacking in his promo range. You look at someone like Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar cutting a promo by himself is hot garbage. And you put a guy like Paul Heyman in front of him, let him talk. You got money in the bank right there. Like, no pun intended, but you got money in the bank right there.
I really think that going back to the whole thing with Roman and Brock, and then, you know, obviously, like, Seth cashing in. I thought that a great way that they could have actually spun this during that match would have been to have Paul Heyman turn on Brock Lesnar during the match. Now, Brock still, you know, like, Roman doesn't actually go over in this match, but now you have that awkward time of, you know, you stick Paul with Roman at that point, and now you have this awkward time, you know, in between Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar, but it still sets you, you know, gives you something else to go off of right there. And it's just an organic way that they could have, you know, again, put him with some kind of mouthpiece, do his talking for him.
Yeah.
And I think he would have been far more over. But, I mean, I don't want to totally be, you know, the Mark kind of guy, or, you know, I mean, I know we say, you know, we call ourselves Smart Money, but we don't like the negative connotation that always gets. But, I mean, I'm going to go with the usual thing. But if he turns heel, watch how good it'll be when he actually does go back to face.
Yeah.
But because of the fact that they push him so hard as a face, it's just tough. It's really rough on them.
Right, man. I mean, if you go back and look at any of the top stars, I mean, a lot of them had that heel turn, eventually got over organically, and then it was $1 million. And that's, I think, part of the problem right now, too. And since we have all these minds here, I always just kind of wanted to bring this up. But the fact that, you know, we have so many people calling for Reigns to go heel right now, I mean, you even have some casual fans that think that Reigns should be a bad guy. When you talked about Cena, you know, everybody always thinks that Cena should go heel and all this other garbage. When you think about this with these top guys, if they were to make that turn, I mean, WWE's whole thing is to get those reactions at their events on TV, at the pay-per-views. If you have Reigns go heel, I feel like he's going to get cheered more than he probably does right now, and that might, you know, turn things backwards.
But, I mean, when you have those guys that can, they start off as one, you know, you have your face and your heel, and then you have those, like, kind of in-between kind of guys, I feel like it's a lot easier to kind of go from there. Like, Stone Cold and Rock were perfect examples of this, that were heels and were still getting over with the fans. at that point, then you can make the switch. But at the very least, I mean, let him find himself instead of trying to make us believe what they want us to believe.
You don't believe that?
I don't believe that. I really don't.
Yes.
I don't. Like, he's not over with me in the sense that, I guess, it's too much of him.
Right.
And, you know, a brand split would be great to be able to have him, sorry, getting over being sick. But a brand split would be great because then you don't have that oversaturation of always having to see Roman. And I think it would be a lot easier for him to get over on a sense, like if he's just on SmackDown, then I just, you know, I'll just watch Raw.
So basically Roman Reigns is strawberry and Neapolitan ice cream, right?
That's fair. I can see that.
Really quick. Would Raw work in a brand split having to fill 3 hours of content with half of the roster? Because honestly, right now it seems like they're struggling to fill 3 hours with the full roster.
I think honestly, if you went back to a 2 hour Raw, but you did the first, like, say, you know, even if you want to keep it three, do the first hour on the network instead of that stupid pre-show that they do, I'd be much better with that.
Well, I think it'd be easier too, because they have a lot of hard time booking this 3 hour Raw, because we're getting maybe 45 minutes to an hour of actual in-ring time, probably about a half hour of commercials, and about 40 minutes of promos. And you're only really pushing one or two superstars at that time. You do the brand split, you get all these, some of these guys that have just been stuck in mid-card purgatory for years and years. Like, you know, that'll give them a chance to shine, and you can, you know, have more storylines to push. And I think it could help.
I think it also gives you more of an opportunity to have actual quality matches, because you can focus on the actual match. I'm not a big like promo guy. I like storylines, but I like to see them develop during matches and kind of go from there. Give me like a 15-minute match out of each person. You know, you have like, say, six matches on Raw, and they're all 15 minutes piece.
Sort of a two-minute DQ finish,
exactly.
or, you know, 15-minute double countout or some shit.
Right,
like that.
Or like a, you know, a three-minute match. What can you really do with 3 minutes?
I can do a lot in 3 minutes. You'd be surprised.
3 minute warning. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Yep. Rosie and Jamal. Hey, what's up?
What are you going to do with the other 2 minutes and 45 seconds? Cuddle. That's clean up time. Yeah,
Alex,
I
haven't talked
in
forever. Alex, talk.
Well, they were just about to say something.
Yeah, because it was awkward silence.
Yeah, like, In the grand scheme of things, I think it could work. They're just gonna have to push more people to fill that time slot.
Like who? Dolph Ziggler?
Dog Ziggler?
You're gonna push Dog Ziggler?
Dog Ziggler. Well, it's a shitty thing now that Wade Barrett's leaving, because I think he's a perfect guy that they could have pushed. I think they really dropped the ball with him. Cesaro, he's been done nothing. I know he's injured right now, but they've done pretty much nothing with him. And that dude is freaking talented as shit. Bray Wyatt's another guy that can get a solid push. Dean Ambrose, I mean, like, we're talking world title pushes for these two. Cesaro for sure, but you can definitely get him, you know, get him going in that Intercontinental picture, you know, United States title picture, and then still have your upper guys, your main event guys, going for the world title. But I think that's one of the things. They want to bring prestige back to the Intercontinental Championship and bring it back to the United States Championship. But they don't give it any time, hardly. Like, you know, it's kind of almost just an afterthought compared to the world title. And I remember back when Intercontinental like title matches, like they meant something. When you were the Intercontinental champion, you were the number two guy on the show.
You were going to be the future. You were going to be.
Yeah.
It was a stepping stone in a way to being an actual like world heavyweight champion.
Which is funny because that's how they still hype it on like other network shows, like when they're doing like the top 10. Intercontinental champions, like that whole introduction, it was like, you get this, that means, oh, this is the next step. Or like anytime there's like a DVD, like the Ricky Steamboat DVD, it's like, oh, I got the Intercontinental title, and that told them that I was ready for that next step. So like that's like you guys were saying, is like that's the number two guy, but it doesn't feel like that hardly anymore.
Well, like that's like the same thing with the King of the Ring too. Like, you won King of the Ring, that meant you were going somewhere.
It was having a title without even having to hold the title.
Now it's just like that was pre Money in the Bank right there. That was Money in the Bank before Money in the Bank was a thing. Now it's just you win King of the Ring, you get a stupid costume and King thrown in front of your name.
I don't know. Ridiculous. You ever just think a lot of that's just like hindsight booking? Like hindsight, you know, just like if you think about it, there's been as many terrible Intercontinental Champions as, like, Hall of Famers as well.
It's like when you go back and listen to classic rock music, and you're like, man, my music was really good in the 80s. It's like, no, the music that they play now in 2016 is the good stuff. But in the 80s, there was a lot of shit music.
Exactly.
Dude, I don't know. Wham was the shit, and I will fight anyone that's, that disagrees with that.
You better wake me up before we go.
I guarantee it. You go into any club and you play "Wake Me Up Before You Go Go," and that place is going to be jumping.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It's actually a good track, but if you play like "Striker" or something like that, no one's going to be like, "What the fuck is this?"
I mean, I don't know, man. Give me some Europe or some Asia. I'm okay with that as well, man. Like some Final Countdown or Heat of the Moment. I'm totally fine with that.
I mean, think about it too. Like, we've actually tested
that. Oh, we got Wiz Khalifa and freaking, I don't even know how to pronounce some of these guys. And then what this Waka Flocka
Waka
guy?
I don't know that.
Oh God,
I don't know any of that stuff.
I don't either. Yeah. But
you're not
missing.
That's
much.
This 2000 stuff you guys are talking about. That's good. Apparently, I don't know. I don't listen to it.
Well, it is funny though, because there is some of the 80s music like Asia and Wake Me Up and all those songs that like get people actually, you know, up and moving in the after party, stuff like that. But then if there's somebody playing Slayer, everybody just kind of like awkwardly sitting like, who the fuck played this song? I don't know.
Kind of fucking parties are you going to, man? If you're playing Slayer at a party we're at, that's great.
Any time that we are at the lacrosse after parties, if thrash metal gets played or like screaming music, everybody's just sitting there like awkwardly like, who picked this?
Hold on. What bars are you going to in lacrosse? Because I don't know if you guys know this. I was born and raised there. I spent the first 20 years of my life in lacrosse, and I partied there. I graduated from Central in 2000.
Really?
Yeah. I'm a Central alumni.
I'm a Logan alumni. Fuck you, man.
Wow.
You'd get along with my mom's side of the family, then. They're all Logan.
Yeah, we're going to have a pickup
basketball
game. That's cool
if you like going to school on top of a swamp. Like,
Oh, man.
Hey, man, that's any town in western Wisconsin that's not in a valley.
Yeah.
So.
That's right. My dad works at Central, and he said that school has just turned to dog shit. He said if me and my brother went to school there now, he'd probably send us to Logan.
Yeah, I've heard some pretty shitty things about Central. But anyways, they got a really good basketball team. Hopefully they can win state this weekend. We're talking about, though, wrestling in general, though. The brand split, yeah, it'll be fun. We got, you know, Taker, Shane coming up at Mania. Dean Ambrose, Brock Lesnar should be one hell of a match. And honestly, I think Reigns and Triple H will be a great match as well, regardless if people, you know, Reigns gets booed out of the building or not.
And that match could go on record and say it's going to be a slobber knocker. Like, you know, it's going to be one of those matches. You don't say that about a lot of matches nowadays. Like, I mean, I know JR called every match a slobber knocker, but I mean, that one is, I think it's going to be brutal.
Yeah.
That is the thing. No matter what people say about the whole WrestleMania card. I mean, I've seen everything from it's going to be a great WrestleMania to I'm not going to watch it because it's going to be one of the worst WrestleManias of all time. But it's still WrestleMania. I mean, you still got to get excited for it because of what it is.
Yeah.
Also, the New Day, their entrance is going to be sick.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, definitely heard a lot of good things about the entrance. So, big show for WrestleMania. Another big show happening is April 9th, Stevens Point. You guys have been doing a lot of footwork for that. So, let's talk about Stevens Point a little bit.
All right. Well, April 9th, Saturday, April 9th at the Holiday Inn Convention Center. It's going to be WCW Breaking Point. And props to Nathan Gustin coming up with that name. That was a really solid one, I got to say.
Fun!
not to be confused with WWE Breaking Point. That show was awful, and this one will be amazing.
It wasn't even in Stevens Point, so like, what the hell?
This is actually going to be the first time that we've actually had any kind of professional wrestling up here in, I would say, probably about 5 or 6 years.
Except for midget wrestling at like, Players.
That only counts for, like, half, right?
Yeah, I think that counts like half.
But it's actually really cool. We really got into this because we contacted Ron, the owner of WPW, and you know basically just said like there are people that want it up here, and there's nobody that comes up here. So maybe if he could check it out, maybe just look into it. That'd be cool. And he got back to me and asked me for a couple places, and all of a sudden, a couple weeks later, it was already booked, and here we are, you know, less than a month away from it, and it's going to be absolutely amazing.
We're going around slanging tickets and putting out flyers. Monday, we spent a good couple hours going around town, hit us a few places, put some flyers up, went down to Brick House, which is the official after party of the show, hammered that place with flyers. Already had them selling tickets. Yep. So
already got a ton of tickets sold. Front row is gone. And we actually had so many people just pretty much calling, texting, hitting us up on Facebook asking for tickets. So it's going to be a great show. We really expect a really, really big draw for this one. It's a great venue to actually hold this. And it's just going to be such a fun time. We really hope everybody comes out there.
I just hope there's no cat people there.
Yeah, I hope so too.
I was thinking about making a sign and just saying like you know, have a boo this man, and then behind it, like right away, just like, we want cats. But it's going to be such a good time. I mean, yeah. Like, especially with, you know, having Sadist on the card. Mm-hmm. Sadist is actually from the area and stuff, so I know a lot of people are coming in to support him.
The school, Colin Brooks.
Also, yep, here. Young Money Colin Brooks is going to be on this card as well, and he goes to actually school at UWSP. So we're looking at just having a lot of hometown kind of connections to this, so it's going to be really, really cool. I am very much looking forward to the main event of this show being Sadist versus Joey Jet Avalon for the WPW Heavyweight Championship.
That's going to kick ass.
I mean, considering their history, and I mean, if there's a place in Wisconsin, they have probably wrestled for a title at least multiple times. You know? So I feel like they're really going to tear the house down in that one. Also looking forward to, not to be too much of a mark on this one, but AC Riley versus Derek St. Holmes. As soon as I saw that one pop up, I got very excited for that one.
I like Derek St. Holmes, man. He reminds me of old school wrestling, like very William Regal-ish. Mm-hmm. That's how I explained it. And it's gonna be good.
Also, we have the Dojo Boys versus a mystery opponent. We're not sure who that's gonna be, so that'll be interesting to see where that goes. But
it's Nick and me, right?
It's us two. We're signing up.
Is it you guys?
Oh, that would be something, right?
AJ, you're training, so that might be coinciding with that, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just had day one on Saturday. I don't know if I'm quite ready to get in there, but especially with those guys.
Honestly, the Dojo Boys can make just about anybody look good. So, I mean, they could probably literally wrestle me and Jesse or you, AJ, and probably put on a great match.
I'll get in there and take a few bumps if they let me.
It's gonna be a very, very solid show. I'm really looking forward to seeing kind of what the other matches are coming up.
PW3 and Brock Hall are going at it too in that show.
That's right. I forgot about that one. How could I forget about that? Our boy Tommy. How could I forget about that?
Yeah.
But it's going to be a great time. We really hope that people will come out to this show because of the fact that if this show draws well, this is kind of a test run to see if we will get future shows up here, not just from WPW, but possibility of other companies. Also.
Yeah, you guys know Julian, right? Julian Bradley?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, he's a good buddy of mine. I did yard wrestling with him back in high school, back in the day. He texted me like a month or two ago asking if we've had wrestling up here. That's like, we got this WPW show coming up, and he's like, let me know how the draw is. So he wants to bring his guys up here, possibly this summer. Oh.
We're looking at trying to make this area, like at least in central Wisconsin, a bit of a better like wrestling kind of area, because you have so many communities around here that there's just absolutely nothing in. So
yeah.
At that point, we want to be able to try to help to bring something else like for people to do. I mean, honestly,
we got people that are buying tickets. They're like, I don't even like wrestling. Yep. I'm just going to go because it's something new to the area and different. So, I mean, that's cool.
Before we let you go, guys, how do people get a hold of you to take a look at the shows that you guys are talking about, get some of the Spark Money on their wavelengths, and just get in contact with you guys in general on social media.
All right. Well, actually, before we get to that one quick, I do have to say tickets for that WPW show are on sale. They're available at wiscopro.com, as well as being able to contact myself or AJ. We also have tickets that we are selling for that one. As far as what we do, as far as our show, you can get a hold of us on Twitter at Spark Money. My tag is at KLock7, AJ's.
Mine says at AJens81.
You can find us on SoundCloud. We have a couple groups on Facebook and stuff as well. So basically, if you just even just go in Google Smart Money, we'll pop up. So.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks for being on, guys. Enjoy talking with you guys about the road to WrestleMania and also talking about Breaking Point at Stevens Point. That'll be a good time. And, yeah, for all of us, thank you for joining us this week.
Yeah, thanks for having us, man. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, seriously.
Awesome. That was Smark Money here on Grapple Talk. We'll be right back with more Grapple Talk right after this.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Chris Lockman, host of the Smark Money Wrestling Podcast. Join me and my co-host, AJ Jensen, each week as we discuss all things professional wrestling. WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, New Japan, as well as the local indie scene here in Wisconsin. We'll also bring you interviews with some of the Midwest up-and-coming independent stars and where you can see them in your area. You can find us on SoundCloud and iTunes, as well as on Twitter at Smark Money. Check us out.
This is Stacy Shadows.
We've said it numerous times that Stacy Shadows is one bad bitch.
And you're listening to Grapple Talk, the best indie wrestling podcast right now known to man.
Hello, wrestling fans. Colt Cabana coming to you live from the 1 Hour Tease Arena in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. The pro wrestling action has been great so far. As you can see, Joey really dominating the ring so far. There's a beautiful belly-to-back suplex. And uh-oh. Looks like Joey's shirt has been ripped.
What's up with that? You ripped my shirt.
Let's go check an instant replay, see exactly what happened. There you can see Joey's shirt ripped from the collar, and that's not good when you're trying to wear your pro wrestling t-shirt.
Man, you ripped my shirt. It's my only shirt. Joey.
Hey, it looks like Ryan from 1 Hour Tees just threw Joey Ryan a brand new t-shirt.
Thanks, Pro Wrestling Tees.
ProWrestlingTees.com, over 3,000 wrestling t-shirts designed and sold by pro wrestlers. Wrestlers such as Steve Austin, CM Punk, Macho Man, Mick Foley, DDP, Andre the Giant, Jake the Snake, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Scott Hall, Ted DiBiase, Colt Cabana, Joey Ryan, Cliff Compton, and the entire Bullet Club. All stores owned by pro wrestlers. Support pro wrestling today and visit ProWrestlingTees.com.
Hi, this is the Minnesota Madman, Doug Meyer, host of the wrestling podcast on the DVM Podcast Empire.
One Ball Radio.
We recap Raw, NXT, Ring of Honor, and other shows of the week. We interview wrestlers, go back in time with This Week in Wrestling History, and we go, hey, whatever happened to you? Check us out on iTunes or DVMPE.com.
Hi, this is Corey from Independent Wrestling Apparel. Are you an independent wrestler trying to get t-shirts made or hosted online for sales? Visit us at independentwrestlingapparel.com or email us at indiewrestlingapparel@gmail.com and find out how you can get sponsored today. Are you a fan looking to get a shirt from your favorite independent wrestler? Visit our website at www.independentwrestlingapparel.com today and purchase your shirt of your favorite independent wrestler.
Hey, Grapple Talk listeners, this is Chris from Spot Monkey Media. Are you a professional wrestler, a promoter, a business owner? Spot Monkey Media is graphic design for the wrestling professional. We offer design services for t-shirts, event posters, 8x10s, logos, and even ring gear. But if you're not in the wrestling business, we work outside the ropes. Go to spotmonkeymedia.com for more information. Spot Monkey Media, create your legacy.
What's up, guys? It's one of three of your favorite wrestling podcast hosts, AC Riley from Grapple Talk here. Are you a listener or even a host of another podcast and you just don't know how to get the word out about the podcast? Send us a promo advertising what your show is about to grappletalkpodcast@gmail.com. And if you're not a podcast host, but maybe something independent wrestling that you're looking to get the word on about, shoot us an email with your promo as well. We don't discriminate. Let's face it, it's tough for the small guys to get the word out. So what better way than to band together with fellow small guys, aka advertising on a podcast? It's that easy to do. Just send a promo to grappletalkpodcast@gmail.com and we'll make sure people know about you, your podcast, or maybe something else related to independent wrestling. Hopefully you're enjoying the show, and as always, support independent wrestling.
Wow, guys, awesome time sitting down with you know, like we were talking about during the interview, the best part about sometimes being a wrestling fan is just talking wrestling, and that's exactly what we just did.
Yeah, definitely, because social lives are not the best part about being a wrestling fan.
Yeah, definitely. It's a lot of fun talking with other podcasts. I mean, we've gotten to do that a few other times, and it's nice because it's, you know, we get to get our side of how we do our podcast. We get to see how other people are doing their podcast. We get to kind of collaborate and just talk about the sport that we love to talk about.
Now, listen, guys, we really need to get on the ball about this fantasy wrestling stuff.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Big money we're talking.
I don't think that's I don't see why that would be. I don't know how we would do it. I don't know if we need to start an Excel spreadsheet, if there's a way to do it online somewhere, but I think it could easily be done. We could set up a league with like 10 guys or, you know, 10 or you know, women, whatever. And
10 people.
10 people is probably the politically correct way to say it. And then, yeah, we could, you know, draft a little roster and go from there. I think it'd be a lot of fun and it'd be something different.
How are we going to score it, though?
That's the problem, though. Yeah. Do you do a full week and then you have to follow house shows and you get, like, a point for a house show victory or, like, mm-hmm. a point for just being in a house show, 2 points for a house show victory, but then you look at TV time and you have to double the points because it's TV, pay-per-view. Because then that plays an effect, too, because then that's the fun part about it where you do strategize, like, well, I think Bray Wyatt's going to have a big, you know, I mean, I don't know if you do, like, a six-month season or whatever, mm-hmm. and it's like, I think Bray Wyatt's going to have a good, you know, next 6 months. First draft pick. It's like, bad draft pick, dude. I'll trade you Bray Wyatt and, you know, Braun Strowman, but you got to give me Brock Lesnar, dude. It's like...
And he's like, blah!
He's like, blah! It'd be a lot of fun. It'd be a cool thing to do.
Or, you know, you draft, like, Randy Orton and he gets hurt.
And you're like, fuck.
Or, you know, you want to get a bunch of mid-carders because you know they're going to have TV time, plus they're going to be on house shows.
That's the best part about it. It'd be a fun fantasy. I don't know if...
Honestly, I think the best way to do this would be to look at, like, the way that WWE.com did that whole fantasy booking thing way back in the day and kind of look at how they did it. Because I swear that part of it was almost like you start off with X amount of money, like, hey, welcome to this. You get this much money. And then in order to sign guys, they cost this much money or
yeah,
whatever.
That's how they do daily fantasy
so like sports. Main event guys obviously are more. Mid-card guys are less and et cetera, et cetera.
But then that's where the work would come in because then you'd have to have a person designated for – building a cost, so how much would John Cena cost, and who's going to decide that? Opposed to, if you just want to keep it simple for now, it could be just drafting a guy and then just figure out a point system. The money thing's a good idea, but it just
like measuring like who's doing what. I think like for them that they just did televised taping. So like if someone was on ECW because ECW was still around at the time, like that the live tapings, the pay per views, stuff like that, they didn't worry about house shows because obviously you couldn't follow that and be like, oh, shit, this guy, blah, blah.
Yeah, but we live in a really good time when we have CageNet. And if anything we want to find out, we can find out with CageNet. Yeah.
Well, I think we can talk about it either which way, but we got to actually just sit down and
define
all five of us and be like, how do we want to measure this? You know, what are we going to measure, et cetera?
Well, then we need to fill out a full league.
Yes.
Like, I think you couldn't probably – I think it would be kind of weird to include NXT just because I think that's – then you're expanding the roster to, like, so many guys to the point where –
then you're drafting guys who can fit on main roster or NXT.
Yep. And then it would just get a little difficult. But anyways, we should definitely try to figure that out. But we're getting –
drafting Byron Saxton.
Don't draft Byron Saxton. Actually, you know what? Everybody has to draft an announcer just because – we're going to get to our wrestler's perspective now, and when we were talking about Roman Reigns and everything, one of the big things about Roman Reigns is the fact that he comes out there, tries to get cheered, and he gets booed. AC Riley, from a wrestler's perspective, if you go out and you're trying to get booed and you get cheered or vice versa, how do you make sure that doesn't affect your psyche, and how do you keep doing what you're supposed to be doing regardless of what's happening from the crowd standpoint?
It's kind of tough because when you're at an indie wrestling show, it's a little bit different because, you know, as an independent wrestler, if you walk out there, you're getting cheered. The guy that's supposed to be getting cheered is getting booed, and you can easily just be like, all right, screw it, I'm gonna be the baby, you're gonna be the heel. Like, that's how they want to see us. Like, kind of like Brock and Rock back at SummerSlam when, you know, Brock walked in as the heel, Rock walked in as the face, but then they were booing him, so he started acting more heelish as a result. It's just like, they're going to boo me anyway. Might as well act like an asshole. But it's a little different, like, in the WWE because, you know, you got John Cena, you got Roman Reigns that are booed, but they're told you're the babyface. That's how you got to be. So it's a little different in that aspect, but it's a lot easier in independent wrestling, I feel, because, like I said, if the crowd is reacting a different way and you're not getting – like, it kind of annoys me when you get, like, promoters to be like, hey, your friends were here and they were cheering for you and you're a heel, you got to smarten them up. It's like they paid money to do what they wanted to do. Like, you know, it would be really weird, like, hey, I know you guys had fun, but actually do this instead. And it's like they're not in the business at all. They don't understand that whole thing. They paid who they wanted to, you know, cheer and boo for, so why would you chastise them for that? You know what I mean?
I know it's happened to you before, but is there any specific moments that you kind of remember about where that might have happened to you?
As far as fans or as far
yeah,
as
fans,
a lot of lacrosse. I mean, when we get our coworkers coming out and they'll cheer for us, obviously, because they know us, and it's a little different because, you know, that's who they see. You know, oh, they know us, so they'll of course they'll support us. But it's But yeah, I think that's really just where it's just been is lacrosse, because other than that, it's usually places that are not really familiar with me.
Everybody hates you.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody hates me. You know, Ben McCoy's daughter hates me, and that's actually kind of cool. I like that.
She's got a good taste. All right, actually, my wrestler's perspective was going to be
your commentator's corner.
Okay, it was going to be all right. So let's say you're starring in an action movie, much like Dolph Ziggler is right now, and Rusev.
Did you see a trailer?
Yeah, Rusev comes up to you wearing his fucking gear, holds a gun. What are you going to do? Are you going to super kick him in the face too?
I don't know. I saw the photo of that, and I actually kind of laughed a little bit today because I was just like. Like, I honestly thought it was Photoshopped because, like, I didn't actually see the segment. I just saw Rusev holding a gun and Dolph Ziggler, like, what the hell? So, honestly, for a second, I was like, this got to be Photoshopped. But I don't know. I don't know what I would do.
It looks ridiculous. But you know what? From what I've read, from the online perception of it is it's going to be great. It's fantastic. I think it's going to be so ridiculous that it's going to become, honestly, it could become a WWE cult classic because it's going to be so out there. I thought it was a joke.
You thought it was a joke?
When they came out and Dolph's like, hey, man, I'm a cop. And all of a sudden, here's Kane at a desk like, let me tell you, Dolph. I was like, no. No way. Is this serious?
Oh, man.
I could not take it serious at all. But then I was watching it, and I was like, I kind of want to watch this movie because it's just so out there. He's like, I'm going undercover as a pro wrestler. I was like, dude.
Oh, man.
Come on,
I really want to watch this, though.
It looks terrible, but in a good way, it looks terrible. It's weird.
At the same time, though, there's always those movies that are just terrible, and you watch it's like, it wasn't that bad.
Or like Ready to Rumble.
Yeah, exactly. Or they're...
Yeah, you don't like that.
Yeah, whatever, Jesse. But and it's the other way, too, because there's movies that are like, oh, that's going to be the best movie ever, and they're like, that was kind of shitty.
Kind of like all the Marine movies?
Yeah, I don't think anyone walked in saying, this is going to be the greatest movie ever.
but they try to make it serious, you know, it's like I was watching Edge and Christian, so... Which, weirdly enough, like their first show, it was pretty bad. Mm-hmm. Second show... Actually had me laughing a couple of times. The good thing about Edge and Christian show is that they're getting funnier and funnier. I think they just had to find their groove. Yeah. But anyways, they had Summer Rae on their second episode, and she was like, you know, it's just so weird when they're like, you know, tell us about getting them. She's like, I just wanted to, you know, to be kill the moment and stuff. And I was like, you know, they showed some of the clips from it, and I was just like, oh, this movie does not look good. Mm-hmm. But it's trying to look good.
Yeah,
you know, like I don't know if the Dolph Ziggler movie is trying to look good because it's so ridiculous.
You just think it's
like
just
somebody
so
had to have
slapstick comedy.
Somebody had to have written that and then watched it over and been like, guys, this sucks. But who cares?
You
because
guys see
it
the,
just looks ridiculous.
You guys see the tease for the Edge and Christian show with AJ Styles on it?
I did not, but I heard that one was really good. Actually,
yeah, just like, oh, where did AJ Styles wrestle from 2004 to 2014 or something like that? Like, just the time he was clearly in TNA, it's like, where was he wrestling in this time? And they were just
that's why the show's kind of fun, is they appeal to us marks, and us smarks, too. You know, it's like, they have a lot of references where it's like, ah, I get that reference. It's funny. And then Edge and Christian's, you know, slapstick humor is always, you know, and dry humor is always pretty good, too. There's a couple of there are literally a couple of buds that are just hanging out in front of a camera, is basically what it is.
And they're living the dream.
And they're, like, 50 years old. Oh, maybe 40.
They're close to death.
They're close to
death.
All right, cool. Well, hey, this week on Tape Study, since it's 316, guys, let's watch a classic Stone Cold match as he takes on The Rock from WrestleMania 19.
Nice.
I actually really
favorite of the three.
Out of the three, 17 is still my favorite, but I really like 19 because of just the emotional cathartic feeling you have after the fact. And as my mom's calling me, we'll just ignore that now.
You heard it here on Grapple Talk. Jesse Van Ruin ignores his mom's phone calls.
Yeah, just every once in a while, you know. Like,
I'm really happy that you picked their 19 match.
Yeah,
I don't know why. I'm just happy about it.
Yeah, it's a good match. I still like it to this day.
Yeah, all their matches are really good though. 15 was pretty good. 17 was really really good. 17 actually is probably arguably the best of the three, but 19 just always has a spot.
I think
in my
19 would have actually. Probably would have been higher on the list of the three if 19 wasn't that good of a WWE pay-per-view. I mean, that pay-per-view was stacked.
19, yeah. In my generation, probably one of the best WrestleManias that I've ever had the chance of
watching. I mean, it's no WrestleMania, you know, 4, but...
It's no WrestleMania, like, -3, you know what I mean? I'm a hipster.
Man, like, you know what's weird, though? Like, everyone hates WrestleMania 4, the tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually really good,
though. I like that WrestleMania actually a lot. Yeah. I had that on, I had Best of WrestleMania. on VHS, and when they highlighted, there was like 1 through 9 that they highlighted.
Yeah.
Super long movie, by the way. But when they highlighted the tournament, that was always one of my favorite parts about watching that VHS back, because I liked the concept of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right.
Hey, Sorelli, close the comments.
I had something and I totally forgot. I can't remember. I'm sorry.
Well, you guys will be in BCW on Friday, so make sure to come check that out if you want to see AC Riley or Jesse Von Rudin. I'll be picking up keys for our new apartment. So
cool, man.
You
got priorities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to do that.
And you guys want to go out on any of these like road trips I got coming up? I got like 12 shows in the next, you know,
I don't like hanging out with you, to be honest.
Ooh.
Wow.
I can probably do a Saturday show. I don't know. Okay. Apparently, Riley's got me booked as Nikki Duchesne like every weekend now. So
what?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah,
yeah,
so.
Dude. Yeah, dude. I'll literally. Are you
taking part of his, you know, his money too?
No,
your booking agent.
No,
hey man, I get 10%.
Literally,
all you owe me gas too, man.
Literally, all I've done for Nick's booking is, hey, I'm going to book you for the show. Cool. Hey, I'm going to bring Nick with me. Fantastic. And it's usually Gus, and he's okay with that.
Yeah.
Like the April 9th show, when it was me and St. Holmes announced, I asked him just flat out, hey, do you mind if Nick manages me? And he's like, 1,000%. I'm like, okay, I take that. That's an absolute yes. So. Yeah.
So Holmes is a face up there?
Yeah, he's an old-school, old-timer face.
That's what I said, too.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So they're trying it out. It works.
You should wear the... maroon jacket.
I'll probably rock this,
yeah.
Rock the maroon jacket, April 9th, Stevens Point. Come see it. It's a nice jacket. Got some little gold buttons on it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, I got to go home. I got to make din-din, green pepper, onion, and sausage hot dish.
You have that, like, every day, almost?
Actually, I haven't had it for a long time, but it's awkwardly enough to where I always make it when we have gravel talk, so it sounds like... It's the same thing like Jesse. Like, he wore the hat maybe twice, but
twice.
You saw him both times, and now he's hat guy.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I made this meal, like, twice when we've had gravel talk, and now I'm sausage, green pepper,
and onion
guy.
I just feel like I've heard 5 times, or, like, anytime you were making food, it was always green pepper and onion at some point.
Well,
green
pepper and onion, he makes vegetables. A lot of tacos, too. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's true. He
yeah,
does make tacos.
And a lot of hot dishes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough. Fair enough. I received my comment.
Yeah, it's like he's always doing laundry.
You're always doing laundry. You're a laundry guy.
I'm a laundry guy.
You're a laundry guy. He's an onions and green peppers guy. I'm hat guy. Thanks for listening to Grapple Talk. Stay classy.
Thank you for tuning in to Grapple Talk.
If I was running SWE right now, who knows? Maybe I would be the champ. I don't know. Maybe
yeah,
maybe David Arquette would be my champ. I don't know.
Let's hope not.
With Nick Ragnar, AC Riley, and Jesse Von Rudin.
Too many cooks. We have too many likes.
Oh, come
Just
on.
Just kidding.
Just come on.
You watch that video?
Yeah, I did.
Too many cooks. Check it out if you haven't yet.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.